Welcome. Hola. Bienvenidos. Bonjour et bienvenue to the Social Network Show. Welcome to the only worldwide show dedicated to social networking and social media. We give you actionable information to make your social networking the best it can be for business to business, business to consumer, and for folks who just like to post. And now, broadcasting from the studios of the Hank Greenspoon School of Journalism and Media Studies of UNLV, the University of Nevada, Las Vegas, the host of the Social Network Show, Jim Nico, and Dr. Jane Kawaski.
Hello and welcome. You are tuned into the Social Network Show coming from fabulous Las Vegas. And this is your host, Dr. J, and along with me is Jim Nico. And you, I want you to know, are, as our listener, the most important part of this show, and we would love to meet you, hear from you. So please let us hear from you. Email us at questions@thesocialnetworkshow.com. And you can also connect with us on Twitter or LinkedIn. On Twitter, we are at Social Net Show. That's Jim. At Social Net Show 2, number 2. That's me. I'm not quite sure why I'm number 2, but that's the way it goes.
You're number 1 with me.
Okay, thank you very much. Okay, I did a little research this week, and I guess I should tell you that our guest coming up is going to be Jane Hitchcock. J.A. Hitchcock is her author's name, and I'm going to introduce her appropriately before she comes on the show, but just for you to know what's coming up, she is a cyber safety, I think is probably the better term, expert, and we'll be talking with her some more about, we've spoken with her earlier about her new book, True Crime Online. She also has a book, Net Crimes and Misdemeanors, which is a treasure trove of information on navigating the web safely. But before we get to that, I did this some research on finding out just what it is like to search for something on Facebook. Say you were a young person who was feeling distressed or had some problems with a website or was being taunted or bullied. So there is a search bar, and it's greeted me and said, "Hi, Jane, what do you need help with?" And I put in feeling suicidal. Now, unfortunately, we did not find results for feeling suicidal is the response I got. So there were no results. So I put in, want to kill myself, because I'm thinking, you know, they have previously stated that they were going to make a big effort to make it easier to report things and to get help, you know, especially for young people, but for anyone, really. So I love this. What do you think they said? They showed me how to delete my Facebook page.
Well, that's it?
Yes, I thought it was just really, I thought, you know, if I wanted to kill myself on Facebook, I guess the way to do it would be to delete my Facebook page. It's sort of an electronic suicide.
Yeah. Yeah. So no more assistance than that.
No, I'm afraid there wasn't. And actually, that was on the frequently asked questions part, the FAQs. So I persevered. I looked under the community questions tab instead of the FAQs. But it wasn't until I got to the 14th link down the list that the word kill was referenced. And the question was, what do you do when someone posts comments threatening to kill? And then when I got to the end of the list, the 48th link, there was still nothing to address killing oneself. So I went to add the letter I want to kill myself, and that brought up instructions to contact a hotline. Actually, the words that the hits were I, to, and myself. But the link was, I need to find a suicide hotline for myself or a friend. And it explained that suicide hotlines provide help to those in need. Contact a hotline if you need support yourself or need support, help supporting a friend. If you've if you are concerned about a friend, please encourage the person to contact a hotline as well. So that is the extent of clicking on a page to discover a hotline.
Interesting. So what is your conclusion from all that? You went through that experiment.
Well, I was disappointed because even at that on that question, there were no links, no phone numbers. And I know there's national phone numbers. Of course, these are going out to all over the world. So that would, you know, there might be some, the phone number wouldn't be applicable to everyone, but certainly some would be helpful.
Yeah, and you would think that in the climate that we're in now, with people talking about what Facebook is and is not doing, mm-hmm. and what they should or should not be doing, you would think that they would provide more guidance, especially to the young and vulnerable person on Facebook who's feeling suicidal.
Well, yeah, and to not have on your search, you know, a response to a search with the words kill or, and suicide was, again, like I brought up, that was what the result on suicide would have been too. I'm going to talk with Jane Hitchcock a bit about this because I actually got started on this from a book from True Crime Online, because in response to the death of Phoebe Prince in the Boston area, there were apparently some actions that Facebook took, and I'll be asking her about that because this is one of the things I was trying to find out about. And one of the things that they said was that there would be a redesigned abuse reporting system. So I went to report the links. I was hoping to see just, you know, an obvious button, like a report this page or something like that. But there were 9 different procedures, depending on what page you were on, to report the link. So in terms of usability, usability testing is something that a lot of experimental psychologists are involved in, but other fields as well. And it is basically to test, you know, it's the thing that the directions to program your VCR in, or your DVD player apparently never use because they're all so hard to use. But the usability testing, I think the report links would flunk that too. For one thing, there was the gear menu, the little icon of the gear with all the teeth around it. That has a drop-down menu, which has report this link, and that is good on timelines, groups, and pages. But if it's an ad you want to report or don't like, you have to hover over it and click the X. And then you can choose hide this ad or hide all ads from that advertiser. I clicked on hide this ad, but it didn't hide the ad, so I'm not sure. 3, you can click on report, and that is for an event. The 4th one was there's something with the gear and actions, and that's for messages. If you want to report a message, that's what you have to do. If you want to report a photo or video, you have to click on the photo or video and click options, and then you'll see report. If it is a post, you need to hover over the X and find the arrow. There's a down arrow, which will bring up a menu, which will tell you to report it. The 7th one was to click on a pencil. That is, you had to hover over it to find the pencil and click on that to mark or report. And the 9th one was click on the title of a question, and you could click on Asked By, which would then give you an ability to report it. For a post, you hover over it and click the X.
Wow, so it's a little complicated, to say the least, for the person that's really in need. I think that the part of the, I don't know if you'd call it divorce, but that might be a term. In the old days, and I mean old in terms of like going back 3 years, 20 years, whatever, companies always had customer service.
Mm-hmm.
You notice whenever you shopped somewhere at any kind of a store, they always had a phone. They always had a mail. You could mail something to them. But the phone was the most important one because you could call, check on the hours, and even to this day. I mean, if I call anywhere from Barnes & Noble to CVS Pharmacy to even Walmart picks up the phone and will send you to a department. Strange how companies these days, which deal with service and provide places for people to interact, don't have the customer service level that they need. And that's one of the initiatives, one of the things that maybe initiative isn't the right term, but one of the, our missions is to help people to get, or at least social networks, to provide some level of service, and especially emergency service like what Dr. J just described. Certainly, it's reasonable to assume that if a child or a young person, 13, 14, 15 years old, is in a suicidal state on any social network, there should be a number and a very simple procedure, some way to get help without going through, I don't know, hundreds of words and procedures. Otherwise, we can lose those kids, and we are.
Right. And the customer service is one aspect of it. And as we've mentioned before, the product liability being another one, which is pretty typical. So I want to get back to our guest who is coming on the show very shortly. That is Jane Hitchcock, J.A. Hitchcock. And we'll be right back with her. And I'll introduce her, tell you a little bit about her background.
Questions? Comments? Email us at questions@thesocialnetworkshow.com. We'll be right back.
Kelly Keller, an intellectual property attorney specializing in internet law and social media issues. Join me on The Kelly Keller Show right here on the Social Network Station. Together with my guests, we will tackle tough legal problems presented by the ever-increasing use of social media in everyday business. Through dynamic conversations, we will discuss your rights and responsibilities in the new media world so the hard work you have put into developing your brand, business, and products does not go to waste. How does the law's response to the social media explosion affect you? Join me on The Kelly Keller Show to learn more.
Now, back to The Social Network Show.
You are listening to The Social Network Show, and we're glad to be talking with Jane Hitchcock today. Jane is an author. In addition to writing feature articles for periodicals, she has 9 books to her credit. She writes as J.A. Hitchcock, and you will find details at jahitchcock.com. She wrote from at least the age of 8. And if you aspire to be an author, Jane's advice is to save everything you write. She has been an editor. She was an editor of her junior and senior high school newspapers and then went into advertising as a copywriter. But after she moved to Iwo Jima in 1992, she decided to get serious. And she did. She published 4 books while there, and both writing about Iwo Jima and Japan. As a noted cyberbullying and cybercrime expert, as well as president of HWO and HWO KTD, which stands for Working to Halt Online Abuse, Jane has consulted for books, articles, and brochures on cyber safety. She is also a volunteer consultant for more than 10 police and state police departments and the U.S. Department of Justice Office for Victims of Crime. And Jane, welcome to the Social Network Show.
Oh, thank you for having me again.
Well, it's our honor and pleasure. One of the things we were hoping to discuss with you was the whole question of legislation, because I know you've been deeply involved in getting legislation specifically about cyberbullying made into law in a number of states. And I was wondering what the typical provisions of new legislation against cyberstalking, et cetera, usually are.
Usually the states update their stalking law, which would be the offline stalking, to include electronic communications online. And that's where cyberbullying actually falls into cyber stalking, because it's basically the same thing. It's electronic communications online after the harasser or the bully has been told to stop. And that's what a lot of these cases are. But the media likes to hype the word cyberbully for kids and teens more than stalking or cyber stalking.
That's interesting. So, Jane, if you could talk about the phrasing a little bit. That's an interesting statement. So the media likes to hype the cyberbullying part of it, but cyber stalking, and can you talk about what you would prefer that they say?
I think they're one and the same, but it's one of those things where if it involves a kid or a teen, they call it cyberbullying. If it involves an adult, it's called cyberstalking. So it's the media that's done this. It's not really anything else, but to me, they're one and the same.
Okay. On the other hand, stalking does have a more almost sinister or urgency to it, doesn't it?
No, they're both okay. About the same in reality, because okay. If you get a bunch of kids and teens taunting another one online, and usually it's a group harassment or stalking where they're urging the other person to harm themselves or to kill themselves or we're going to come and beat you up. It's essentially the same thing as an adult being stalked online, basically being told the same kinds of things.
Okay.
And that's where I don't see any difference whatsoever.
Okay.
Now, there's a question in some people's mind as to whether new legislation is necessary, and that maybe legislation tends to take on too broad of a area to where people's electronic communication is going to be unduly restricted or liable to prosecution. How have you found that, in the work you've done, has that been an issue at all?
I think the biggest issue is if law enforcement doesn't see it as a cyber stalking or cyber bullying situation. A lot of times you'll get some police departments where they're already overwhelmed with offline crimes, and then you get some concerned parent coming in saying, hey, they're telling my daughter to kill herself, and then the police, I actually just had this recently happen where the police told the father, said, well, there's not a direct threat to your daughter, so there's really nothing we can do, when yes, there is something they can do. They can use the cyber stalking laws, because I asked, I said, did your daughter tell them to stop? Yes, she did. Okay, then after that, it's considered cyber stalking. Mm-hmm. Once you tell them to stop and they continue, that's repeated communications online, and that is against the law. Where some of the states are passing what they're calling cyberbullying laws, they're basically passing something where schools are required to take it seriously, which you really need to have the schools get a little bit more involved, because these students feel they have nowhere to go for help. And if they feel that no one at their school is going to help them, and they're afraid to tell their parents because they think they're going to be punished, they, of course, don't want to go to the police. And the next step is killing themselves. And that's why when I go to the schools, I give them options, and I encourage them to report it in some way or manner to somebody, and even if that goes to going to our website and contacting us by filling out the questionnaire, contacting our celebrity spokesperson, Jim Mayer, Stevie the cybercrime dog. And, you know, we give them so many options, and I tell them there is no need for you to even consider killing yourself when there is help out there.
Jane, I have a question. In the old days, and basically I spent 20 years in crisis intervention, there used to be a very fast one-step process for someone that was suicidal, and that would be just to call the suicide hotline. Is that still as prominent? I mean, should that be the ideal at this point? I mean, one choice, one number, it's a toll-free number, boom. You've got access to help. Do you recommend that now, or is it more complicated now?
I would like kids and teens to be able to have that option, but I have a feeling that they're afraid to do that because they just have it in their heads that if they can't handle it themselves, no one's going to help them. And that's where we have to educate students that they need to do something about it. And they need to not let it sit there and fester so much that they get to the point where they just can't deal with it anymore. And that's where, you know, I go in and I talk to them about their options. I mean, online there is, I guess, kind of, and not really the equivalent of that, but it's the schooltipline.com, where they can go, and if their school is listed on the website, they can anonymously report cyberbullying or bullying, whether or not it's happening to them. It could be that maybe one student overheard another student saying, oh, I'm going to text Jimmy and tell him he's a fat ass and, you know, and that he should kill himself because of that. And they can go to this website and report it anonymously. So that's kind of, I think, where we're going, where kind of a clearinghouse, I guess, is the best way to put it, because I don't know if kids are necessarily going to pick up and call an 800 number to talk to somebody.
So the school, could you repeat that website again?
Yeah, it's schooltipline.com.
Schooltipline.com. Okay, and then it's up to the schools to be a member of that? That's my impression.
Yeah, they need to sign up. So when I go to the schools and I talk to the students, like I'm going Monday to another school up here in Maine, and I'll tell them about that, and I'll talk to whoever booked me, and I'll say, your school really needs to be listed here. And I encourage them to list the school there. And, you know, I would say the majority of them do, because they want to try and help the students as well. It's just, education is the hardest part, is getting out there to the schools. A lot of them have had their funds cut, so I've been trying to work with them on getting me there and trying not to charge as much, but charging enough so I get something out of it. Mm-hmm. You know, it's just one of those things where it's so hard to get the word out there to schools that they have to take this seriously.
Right. And, you know, it seems like it would be an easy thing to spread the word type of thing. But I know from my background in studying the spread of best practices in medicine, and that, of course, is another case where there's often a life or death importance to it. It's not easy. There's just a tremendous inertia, I guess you would say, in life, in the universe, that change is, it's an uphill battle. But the more buzz there is, the more people talking about it. And so I'm hoping to encourage our listeners too, if they're associated with schools, to talk to the school administrations about, are they participating in these programs?
Yeah, or, you know, I encourage the schools I go to, I say, put a link to our website up on your school website so the parents can go there for resources. Or maybe the kids will think later, well, maybe I will go there for help. make friends with Phoebe on Facebook. And it's just amazing how many of these kids will actually talk to her on Facebook. And, you know, I mentioned this before, they know it's me, but they think of her as a dog, you know, basically. And we usually work out the situation and get a solution to it without it getting to the point where I read about them the next day in the headline.
Right, and that is your dog, Phoebe, and you take her along with you when you do school presentations and so forth?
Yep, we're going Monday. Like I said, it's up to, it's a special session for one of the high schools, and it's up at a camp about 2 hours from where I live, and we're going on Monday, and she does a little thing during the talk about cyberbullying, and there's actually a new video, and I'll probably send you the link if I haven't. I know I posted it on Twitter, and I think Jim retweeted it. It is cybersmile.org, the Cyber Smile Foundation, just posted last week this very, very profound video of a teenage girl who's being bullied via text and on the computer, on her laptop, and she's got this noose hanging over her head, and it's following her everywhere until at the very end you see her feet actually being lifted off the floor. And I sent that to the school I'm going to on Monday, and I said, this is very disturbing, but it gets the point across, and I would like your permission to show this to these kids.
Mm-hmm.
And if you get a chance, you have to see this video. And I posted it on my Facebook WOE page, and got a lot of responses from it where people were, it disturbed a lot of people, but they said, you're right. It's a great impact as far as the whole thing, you know, because it's very graphic.
And that video is available to anyone if they go to cybersmile.com?
I think it's cybersmile.org, where they can search engine Cybersmile Foundation.
Thank you, Jane. And another thing, too, that we encourage people to do, too, sometimes hearing you speak, and you speak very well, and you bring this really relevant, what we can do about problems now, information to the show, we're hoping that people put the link to the show up, because we're promoting you and we want people to listen to you. There's nothing like hearing you explain it, and even seeing Phoebe, you know, the dog. I mean, that physical... The element, that audio element, really seems to instill more confidence in people.
Yeah, and especially the kids and teens, when we go to the schools and the students afterwards can come up and pet her, and some of them will actually start talking to me about things that are going on while they're petting Phoebe, and it's just, they always say animals and puppets, for some reason, kids have a better association with them than they do adults. You know, quite honestly.
Yeah, that's what Dr. Marvin, Dr. Leo Marvin, tried to do with his kids in What About Bob?
Yeah.
Playing with the puppets. And you mentioned Jim Mayer. And
yeah.
Let's talk about him just a bit in our next segment, and we'll be looking forward to what's coming up next.
Want to be a guest on the Social Network Show? Email us at guest@thesocialnetworkshow.com. We'll be right back.
Today in school, I learned a lot. In chemistry, I learned that no one likes me. In biology, I learned that I'm fat and stupid. In English, I learned that I'm disgusting. And in gym, I learned that I'm pathetic and a joke. The only thing I didn't learn in school today is why no one ever helps.
Kids witness bullying every day. They want to help, but they don't know how. Teach them how to stop bullying and be more than a bystander at stopbullying.gov. A message from the Ad Council.
Now, back to the Social Network Show.
And we are speaking with Jane Hitchcock, the author J.A. Hitchcock, and she is can be found at the Working to Halt Online Abuse website, which is WHOA, W-H-O-A. And what is the full website, Jane?
It's at haltabuse.org.
Haltabuse.org, okay. And the we were talking about your celebrity spokesman, Jim Mayer, and he is a performer with the Jimmy Buffett Band, correct?
Yes, he's the bass player. So in his real life, he's up there rocking to Margaritaville and whatever other songs that they do, and travels all over the world, literally. And then in his off time, he goes to schools or he'll go to different events, and he usually comes back east every once in a while. And we get together with Phoebe and do things with her. But he actually contacted me. And I thought it was a joke at first, you know, not thinking that they like that would contact us. And he actually, when he does his performances, he performs for kids, usually 9 and younger, and does these, like, there's a song called Schmoopy, and he does all these songs. And then when he got involved with us, he wrote a song, and it's up on our Kids and Teen website, which is haltabuseKTD.org, and it's called Zip My Lip, which is basically telling kids and teens, don't hit that send button unless you're going to say it out of your mouth. And so he wrote that for us, and he has an email address. You can read his bio, and he actually has an email address, and I encourage, you know, the kids and teens, like I said, I give them choice. I say, if you want to, contact Uncle Jim. That's what he goes by. And he had this actual young man up here in Maine who was being bullied in school, and he ended up writing a song, and there's actually a link to that as well on our website, and now he's got a recording contract.
Oh, that's great to hear.
Yeah.
I'm glad that's turning the situation into a positive rather than a negative.
Definitely.
You know, I was finishing up your book last night. This I'm referring to True Crime Online by J.A. Hitchcock, Shocking Stories of Scamming, Stalking, Murder, and Mayhem. And I noticed, Jane, on page 95 that in response to Phoebe Prince's death, South Hadley, Massachusetts, and that was in 2010, that Facebook, you say, took action, initiating several things, and one of them is a 24-hour police hotline, and I'd like to ask about all of them, but that one to begin with. I have a Facebook page. I haven't noticed a 24-hour police hotline. What is that?
Because it's not available for you to see. It's for the police to see. That's the whole thing. It's law enforcement only. It's not just for the average person, which is something that kind of frustrates me to no end, because I get many people, adults as well as kids and teens, that are being bullied or harassed by people that are opening up fake profiles, and they report them, and they report them, and report them. I had this one gentleman that I've been working with. He's out in Los Angeles, and he reported it 77 times because he got 77 emails from Facebook saying we got it, and you know, they took care of one of the three accounts. They canceled, and they banned him from reporting it anymore. That is just ridiculous.
Yes.
You know, if somebody is harassing you, you should be able to report it, and Facebook should do something about it, and they are just not reactive to the complaint. And that's where you see a lot of these kids getting so upset that they either do kill themselves or they consider it. And that's just got to stop.
I certainly agree. So the 24-hour police hotline, you're saying if someone reports it to the police and the police take it seriously, then they can contact Facebook?
Yeah, they can contact Facebook. It doesn't mean anything's going to happen. Honestly, I've had some cops say that they've called and they've filed it and said, you know, we want to get the IP address associated with it, you know, now you have to file a subpoena for that. And, well, can you at least do something about the count, put it on hold or cancel it or something? Oh, well, freedom of speech and this and that. And it's just, it's like pulling teeth And it's not just Facebook. It's a lot of these websites. It's pulling teeth trying to get them to do something, because if they shut down that profile or that page or that group, then they're thinking we're going to lose dollars because those are clients, not thinking about keeping their customers safe.
Right.
And that just that kind of attitude has to shift.
Have you had dealings with other social networks with the same problem?
Almost all of them. And I think Twitter's one of the better ones as far as dealing with accounts that are being used to harass somebody. But, you know, you've got Ask.fm, you've got the apps like Snapchat and Instagram, and now you've got Vine. You've got, Google is usually pretty good about taking care of things. But it just amazes me that they get out there, and of course, if there's a teenager that's not obsessed, but attached to a certain app or site that they're on, that the site or the app is very reluctant to do anything about it, even though it is clearly harassing in nature.
Okay. Well, in other words, a lot of this, I think, is like Sandy Garasino pointed out when she was on the show, that it's a PR propaganda, yeah. You might say. Well, and I mentioned your book, True Crime Online, and it does have a lot of fascinating stories, which are really pretty scary and creepy. But for true crime, you know, that's pretty much the nature of true crime fiction or nonfiction. Nonfiction, yep. Since it's true. But I also was looking at your older book, which is a second edition of Net Crimes and Misdemeanors. And that is a lot of information on how to deal with situations, true?
Correct, yeah. Yeah, that's more of a informational book where I did include different cases, but I also gave you steps on how to protect yourself, whether it was doing auction sites like eBay, online dating, viruses, scams, spam, other things like that.
Yeah, I was surprised in the true crime book, too, that so much happens on email, that people are barraged with email from people they don't want to hear from, who somehow get a hold of them one way or another continually.
Yeah, it's since we started calculating statistics back in 2000, we found that no matter where the victim encountered the other person online, whether they knew them or not, the way that the majority of the cases begin is via email, because that's the easiest way to get in touch with somebody. So if you get to them on Facebook and they block you, you're going to do email. You know, it's one of those things where email is probably the easiest way to get in touch with somebody and to harass someone.
By the way, Jane, I want to revisit something I learned from you before for any listeners that did not catch your earlier shows, which are available at thesocialnetworkstation.com. One thing that I thought was very impressive and that you said you learned from bitter experience in one sense was, okay, say I go online and somebody says something negative about me, and you also went over it earlier. Okay, tell them to stop. And then that's it. You don't keep re-engaging with them at that point. I mean, I think that's very, very important, because a lot of kids, a lot of younger people don't know that once is enough. I don't want, you know, I mean, can you say exactly or give us some idea of what you would say in real time if you were, say, a 14-year-old kid and somebody said something negative about you? What words would you say?
I tell them the most simple thing is, please stop contacting me. And then don't respond after that, but keep anything that they send you, because that's probably going to incense the other person, and then they're going to try and get a rise out of you. And if you keep, like you said, engaging with them, it just, they're thinking, oh, I got them. Let's see what else I can do. And that's when these situations get out of control. But if you say it once, please stop contacting me. Make sure you keep that however you sent it, whether it's a text, on Facebook, via email, wherever, make sure you keep a copy of it showing that you did try to end it. And then if they continue, just keep anything that they send or that they do. Do screenshots, copies, whatever you have to do, but keep everything, because then that shows that you did try to end it, but they continued. And then that can be considered cyberstalking.
Well, and the very, very important thing that you're emphasizing here, and I want to make sure it doesn't get by anyone, You tell them one time, please stop contacting me. Then you keep track of any communications from them, but you're not correct. Communicating back to them. It's what I'm trying to convey to kids or anyone listening is you say it one time and then that's it. You do not communicate again with them. But what you do is you keep track of what you the one time that you sent them a text or an email or something on a social network, and then you keep track of anything they do after that, screenshots, etc. The one time is really, really interesting because a lot of people probably don't know that. They don't know that if you keep on engaging. For example, I would think a kid, in fact, I even heard of one kid saying, well, you know, if you really want me to do this, or what if I do this? You know, if you keep talking to these people, it just makes it worse, correct?
Oh, yeah, definitely. Because that's what they want. They want to get a rise out of you. They want to get you upset, and they want to know that you're upset so that they can escalate it to a different level. And that's why it's so important. That, you know, I tell, you know, the students when I go to them, I say, you have to sit on your hands. You can't respond to these people because that's what they want.
Oh, sit on your hands.
Yeah, well, figuratively.
Don't touch that keyboard.
Yeah, but that's not bad. That's not bad. I like that. So if I was tempted to, like, respond again for a second time because someone is saying, oh, are you afraid to talk to me? Are you afraid, you know, if they're trying to bait me or whatever, I could sit on my hands, therefore I could not respond. I like that. Sit on your hands.
That's right.
And there is, you can make a folder in your email to move all of those things in, even without reading them, if you know they're coming from the perpetrator. Yeah. And in True Crime Online, you have a chapter called Swedish Phishing, PH Phishing, and for 10 years or more, this it went on. So, I mean, that is an extreme case of continuing to plead with someone to leave them alone and so forth.
And when she finally came to me for help, I was like, okay, that's enough. Stop responding to them. And, you know, the guy was in Sweden. She was here in the U.S. And even after she contacted local police, they said, well, we can't do anything unless he sets foot here, but he's in Sweden. Who would think that he would fly from Sweden? What did he do? He flew from Sweden.
And showed up on her doorstep.
On her doorstep, So, and the Swedish telecom or the ISP over in Sweden, you know, I printed it in the book, their response, and they were just basically calling us Americans a bunch of idiots, you know, and that just really irked me in the end. And I wrote back to him after he showed up, and I said, I hope you're happy. He showed up on her doorstep, and thank God he didn't hurt her.
Mm-hmm.
And, of course, they didn't respond to that, you know, just to showing, you know, if they had just taken care of it and canceled his account or told him to knock it off, he probably never would have gotten on a plane.
Mm-hmm.
Can we talk about Phoebe for a minute? Now, Phoebe's Twitter handle is, again, this is the dog. Okay.
Phoebe Crime Dog. I think it's Phoebe Crime Dog.
Right. And Phoebe sniffs out cyberbullies. Am I correct?
Yes, she does. That's her tagline.
That's right. And there's beautiful pictures of her on her Twitter account. And her nickname is what what is she, the cyber crime dog or the net crime?
She's the
cyber crime dog for those of you that like Twitter. And so it's really important to know that the dogs are on our team.
Yep.
We're canine friendly.
And don't forget, she has a Facebook profile as well.
Oh, okay. Okay, cool.
Yeah, and there are links to both of those from the Halt Abuse KTD website.
Okay, cool. And it's Halt Abuse. Just one more time, slowly, please.
Halt Abuse, KTD, for Kids and Teen Division.
Okay. Okay, good. And the names of the books, Jane, will you read those one more time, please?
It's Net Crimes and Misdemeanors. It's the second edition, is the newest, I guess. I'm hoping to get started on the third edition soon. And then my latest book is True Crime Online. Shocking Stories of Scamming, Stalking, Murder, and Mayhem.
And where do you recommend people get these books the easiest way? Is it Amazon or what?
Yeah, Amazon, or call their local bookstore and have them order it. They can go to truecrime-online.com and they can order their links from there. And it is also available on Kindle as well as paperback.
Thank you so much. And we hope you come back because this is the Jane Hitchcock series, as you know.
Always a pleasure talking with you. Thank you.
All right, thank you.
You've been listening to The Social Network Show, the only worldwide show dedicated to social networking and social media, coming to you from the studios of the Hank Greenspan School of Journalism and Media Studies of UNLV, the University of Nevada, Las Vegas. Listen to archived shows and follow us on Twitter. The views expressed on The Social Network Show are those of the hosts and guests and may not be the views of Social Network Intermedia. The Social Network Show is produced by Social Network Intermedia, copyright 2012.